Good morning, church. I'd like to make an introduction today. I'd like to introduce you to my chair. Chair, congregation chair. Well, actually, it's Jill's chair too, but I'm claiming it today as my chair because to tell you what, just about every single morning I get out of bed, I take the dog out first, get a cup of coffee, and then I come in to the office that we have and I sit in my chair. Kick it up. And I spend some relationship time with God. Sometimes it's 15 minutes. Sometimes it's an hour or more. It just depends on how early I got up that morning. But this is the place that I do it. I spend my quiet time with God right here. I read the Bible. In fact, I use one of the old kind of Bibles that actually has paper in it. Have you ever seen one of these? I read what reads from the Bible. Sometimes I read a lot. Sometimes I just read a little. Then I spend some time thinking about it, or some people call it meditating on it. Then I spend some time in prayer. I pray for people in my small group. I pray for my family. I pray to whatever comes into my mind. I pray for Pastor Rod and his family. Just whatever comes into my head, I pray for. And then I finally start hearing the dreaded drone of the call of work in my ears. Get up, get out of your chair, get ready for work. That's what gets me out of my chair Monday through Friday. On Saturdays, it's different. I don't have to go to work on Saturday, but I hear the dreaded drone of get up, get out of your chair, you got lots of chores to do today. And that's what gets me out of my chair on Saturday. But on Sunday, what gets me out of my chair is I need to come to church. Now recognize, I did not say I want to come to church. I do, but I really need to come to church. Now don't get me wrong, I don't need to come to church to hear inspiring messages. We have those here. Hope to have one today. But I don't come to hear inspiring messages. I don't have to come to hear inspiring messages. I can pull out my computer here, and I could just log in to all sorts of podcasts that are out there of great preachers across the nation and around the world. And I can hear all sorts of inspiring messages staying right here in my chair. I don't have to come to church to worship to inspiring music. I don't. In fact, to be honest with you, on my tablet here, I have about 100 worship songs. Songs like Great I Am, I've got that one on my tablet that I listen to. My style of music, the kind that I like, I listen to and I sing to and I worship to. I worship not just on Sunday mornings, I worship on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and the other days of the week. So I don't need to come to church to worship. I don't need to come to church to feel closer to God. To be honest with you, I feel just as close to God sitting, this is comfortable, sitting here in this chair than I do any other time of the week. I feel so close to Him sitting here and just spending relationship time with Him. I don't need to come to church to give my tithes and offerings. I can go to crossroadsjc.com and give it right there, right? That was from the preacher. Right? I can do it right from there. I don't need to come to church to get a cup of coffee. I already got my Nantucket blend right here every morning. I don't need to come to church to see inspiring videos. I can go to YouTube and get plenty of those. I don't need to come to church to sit in hard black plastic chairs. Right? I got my comfy chair already. No, I need to come to church for a different reason. And to share with you what that reason is, I want to share with you a tale of four churches. Jill and I moved here from Indiana about 7 years ago, and I got here about 2 months before they did. And we were living in an apartment because we were in between houses, right? And trying to sell one and buy another and all that kind of jazz. And I started looking for a church immediately. And I went to Lakewood Baptist Church, which is on Thompson Bridge Road, just north of Gainesville. Great church. I went there and I was hooked immediately because one, the worship style was exactly the style that I like. And that day, it just moved me. I was moved in worship, much like I was today. And then the pastor, Dr. Tom Smiley, got up and he spoke and he was preaching a series on the 23rd Psalm. And I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but it was kind of like I felt like Dr. Tom had been stalking me through the week. You ever had that experience where you felt like you were the only one in the congregation that he was preaching to? I had one of those experiences where he was talking right to me and what I needed to hear and in my experience. So I was excited when Jill and Trevor, my daughter didn't come. She went right to Atlanta to go to school. I was excited to bring them to church with me. And we stayed there while we were in Gainesville. But about 9 months later, we bought a house in the big city of Claremont, Georgia, the gateway to the mountains. Their slogan is longer than the town itself. Well, we wanted to get involved in that community. So there was the church that was right around the corner from us, within walking distance, called Concord Baptist Church, a big church for that community and for most communities. And the music, I'm going to be honest with you, the music wasn't my style most of the time. But that doesn't matter to me that much. I shared with you a couple of weeks ago that it's not about the style of music. I can worship in any style of music. It's the words. When you take the words and then you direct them to God, that's what makes worship, not the style of the music itself, right? So I was worshiping there, yes. I was learning. Levi Skipper is, like Rod, an excellent communicator of teaching the scriptures. And so I was taking stuff away almost every week and I was learning, yes, but something was missing. Something was missing at Lakewood and we knew what it was. Something was missing at Concord and we knew what it was. So Jill and I, we started going to Sunday school classes. We visited several other Sunday school classes and finally chose one and was in it for quite some time, but realized something was still missing. And we knew what it was. Well, Jill, because of her health, we needed to, for her to go to part-time, and we needed to downsize, right? So we started looking for another house that was within a 30-minute radius of Gainesville, because that's where my office is. And we ended up in the bigger city of Jefferson, Georgia, right? That's how we ended up here. We found a house we liked, and it was within that driving radius, and so that's where we ended up, was coming here. Well, the second week we were here, second Sunday, we came to Crossroads, and we haven't left since. We like the music. We like the preaching most times. That's not true. That's just not true. We liked the preaching. We were worshiping. We were learning. But there was something that was missing. And we knew what it was. What was missing was what we had in our church when we were back in Indiana. At Cross Point Community Church. At Cross Point, we were known and we knew people. And when I say that, I don't mean just, yes, I know your name. Yes, I recognize your face. Oh, yeah, you're from Cross Point, right? Yeah. It wasn't that. It wasn't about a lot of people knowing us by name or face. What I mean is that we were really known. People knew. People knew our past. They knew our present. People knew our history. People knew our future hopes and dreams. There were a small group of people who knew our sins and our faithfulness, who knew our successes and our failures, that just really knew us. And what was great about it is they didn't just know us, but they accepted us. Because we're not perfect people, any of us. They accepted us and we accepted them, and it grew into love. Now, the biblical form of love, I've mentioned this before, is not just a chick flick kind of love where you have this emotional experience that you fall in and fall out of. It is a love of the will. Agape, A-G-A-P-E, the love of the will. It is where you say, I will love you no matter what. We loved in that way. In fact, I'm telling you today, if Jim and Rita Augustine or John and Katie Woolsey in Indiana were to call us and say, we need you, Jill and I would be gone. If they called me right now, I'd be leaving the stage and I'd be going, because we were loved by them and we still are loved by them and love them. It was a place where we were known and we knew. It was a place where we were accepted and accepted. It was a place where we were loved and we loved. It was a place where we were inspired and we inspired them. It was a place where we encouraged and they encouraged us. It's a place where we were prayed for and they prayed for us. Let me ask you, wouldn't you like to be a part of something like that? Wouldn't you like to be known, I mean, like really known, not just to have a name tag, but to really be known? Wouldn't you like to be accepted for who you are, imperfect as we all are? Wouldn't you like to be loved, really loved? Wouldn't you like to be inspired and encouraged and prayed for? Me too. That's what the church is to be about. See, when Jesus started out, his ministry, his public ministry at around the age of 30, what he did was he created community. He called 12 men together around him and created community. He called people like Peter and James and John and Bartholomew and Philip and Thomas and Judas and the others. He called them together and they had community. They ate together. They prayed together. They worshiped together. They went to synagogue together. They saw the miraculous together. They even argued together like brothers sometimes do. They experienced this closeness of Christian community, because that's what Jesus called them to do, was to experience this together. And for 3 years, they were together. Then Jesus died. Jesus died on the cross on a Friday, arose again on the dead on the third day, appeared to them for 40 days after the resurrection, and then ascended into heaven right before their very eyes to sit at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And the disciples were standing there, 11 of them now, because Judas had betrayed Jesus and had committed suicide. And they were standing there, the 11 of them, and they were watching Jesus go up in the air. And you know what they could have said? They could have said, hey guys, we've had a really good 3-year run. Let's not end it here. Let's stay together. Let's form our own holy huddle. Let's not let anybody else in. Let's call ourselves the frozen chosen. Right. Let's all get in our little huddle and let's stay there. Let's not let anybody else in. But you know what they did? They didn't do that. They obeyed Jesus when Jesus said, go into all of Jerusalem, which was the town right there. Go into Judea, which is basically the county, if you will, around Jerusalem. Go into Samaria, the next county up, and to the ends of the earth. And you know what they did? Those 12, they started developing circles. There were circles that were being developed all over the place. And this is what the circles were doing. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, it's been a long time for me since I've been in English class and diagram sentences. But I mean, look at the verbs. Take your pen and just circle the verbs here. I mean, listen to this. It said all the believers were together, had everything in common, sold property and possessions, gave to anyone who had need, continued to meet together, broke bread, my favorite, ate together, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Bible says, because of all those things that they were doing together as Christian community, others were looking at them and saying, I want to be a part of that. And they weren't a closed holy huddle. They were open and said, come on in. Be a part of the circle. Be a part of this Christian community. What about you? What about you? I said that Jill and I came to Crossroads and we enjoyed the music and we enjoyed the preaching, but there was still something that was missing. And we knew what it was. And so when we went to the newcomers luncheon, Rod talked about small groups and invited us to come to one. He invited us to come to Brian and Megan Saban's house for small group. I didn't realize how small it was going to be. I don't know who they had coming before, but that day it was Brian and Megan and Rod, three of them. We increased their attendance by 66%. Just Jill and I. I don't know if the math is right, but I'm just saying it. We went in and everybody brought some food and we ate whatever was brought and we just had conversation together. We talked about the weather, right? We talked about restaurants that were good in the area. We talked about how Georgia Tech was going to beat UGA. That was Rod, by the way, that was saying that. We just talked about a lot of different things, right? And then Rod said, you know what, let's all go into the family room. And we did a Bible study. Now, some people go, oh, Bible study. Yeah. But here's the thing. With Bible study, all it was we read some scriptures and we talked about how it applies to our lives. We talked about what it meant, how it applied to our lives. And if you felt like talking, you shared. And if you didn't feel like talking, you didn't share. And nobody looked down on you for it. And then they went into a time of prayer request and they said, you have any prayer requests? And some people shared about prayer requests for themselves or for other people that they knew. And then Rod says, okay, we're going to pray. And he says, I'm going to start. And anybody else wants to pray, go ahead. And some people felt comfortable praying aloud and other people didn't. And that was okay. Nobody looked down on you because you weren't praying out loud. It was just all right. Then we talked a little bit more and then we said goodbye and that was our small group time. And Jill and I experienced what the Bible says of having glad and sincere hearts, enjoying having the favor of all the people, and we kept coming back. Well, that small group had three people in it, right? I said it had three before Jill and I showed up. Now there's 12 to 14 in just a year and 4 months. We would have 16, but Wally and Natalie Moore left our group. I'm calling them out. Because, right, Lily, they started a brand new group. That's why they left. And now that group has 11 to 13 people coming to it. What I'm saying to you is, in a year and 4 months, it went from 3 to about 25 to 27 people who are connected in just those two small groups. And those aren't the only two small groups. We have small groups that meet on the first. They meet on the first and third. Sabins do first and third Sundays. We've got another one that meets first and third Sundays. That's the Young Guns. Are you out there?
Yeah.
I figured you would be. The Young Guns, which obviously I'm not one of them, but they meet first and third Sundays at the Sea House, which is the house that's on our property, up off of 124. And then there's another small group that meets the second and fourth Sundays, and that's the Moores group that meet then. And then there's a women's Bible study, ladies' Bible study, that meets every other Tuesday, and they experience Christian community. And then there's one that meets every Wednesday at the Sea House, and another one that meets every Wednesday at Rodney and Ann Austin's house. What I'm saying is there are communities out there that are experiencing this Christian community that we're talking about. Now, it doesn't happen overnight, right? I mean, where you get to the place where you move from no to accept, to love. That doesn't happen overnight. It happens over time. It grows. We're not trying to grow something overnight. That's what mushrooms do. Mushrooms do it overnight and then they're gone, right? We're growing oak trees around here. That's what we're doing in Christian community. So what I'm asking you today is what about you? Are you here today and saying, you know, I like the music, I like the preaching, but I'm not so sure that I'm missing something still? My challenge to you today is to invest in Christian community. To invest in it. There's four N's that I want to share with you today that's on your handout. In fact, if you will, take out your connection card as well. The first N is engage. Engage in a small group. Now, what I'm asking you to do is simply this. Start visiting some of the small groups. Because each small group is different. I've heard people say, well, I tried a small group once and I didn't like it. You know, I just didn't gel with the people and I didn't care for the leader, blah, 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 right? Well, my goodness, try again. If you went to a dentist and you said, I didn't like that dentist, I'm never going back again. Hello. Rotting. Right? Try it out. Because each group is different. I lead now the Sabins group and I also lead Moore's group. And they're two different personalities. One is not better than the other. They're just different people in there. And they each have their own personality. And I love leading them in their own way, in their own personality. And you may come to a small group and you say, well, I don't like the way that Jeff leads groups, but I sure like the way that Rodney Austin leads the group, or I like the way that Melody and Donna leads the group. That's fine. Just find a place that you fit. In fact, we're going to make it very easy for you next week. We're going to have a small group speed dating event. This is what it is. We're going to go down the hallway over to the gym, and there's going to be six circles of chairs that are there. And you're just going to, we're going to have pizza and water. I know that's exciting, but pizza and water. And we're going to go into those chairs, and then every 7 minutes, somebody's going to blow a whistle, and we're going to leave that circle, and we're going to rotate around and go to another circle. And this will give you a chance to meet the leader. It'll give you a chance to meet some of the people that are there. It's just a speed dating event to give you a sense of where you want to go, where you want to try out first, okay? We're going to be doing that next week, and I hope that you'll commit to being a part of that. On the back of your Connect card, the first box is, I will try out Christian community. If God is tugging on you today to try out Christian community, and I encourage you to check that box. The second in investing in Christian community is to engage. Oh, invite. Is to invite. If you are in a small group now, would you raise your hand? Awesome. What I'm saying to you is, please start inviting people to come to your small group. Because I'm telling you, for people who are like me, I know I'm standing up front talking, but I'm more introverted than I am extroverted. For people like me, it's hard to walk into a brand new group without being invited. I feel like I'm crashing the party. I feel like somebody over there is whispering, who invited the Brookshires here? Jill's fine, but I'm not sure about Joe. You know what I'm saying? I get these stupid thoughts in my head, you know? It's so much easier if they're invited, if you know that they're looking for you to come. So I'm asking you to invite out on the front table, right as you come in the front doors, there's a round table. There's little cards that have all the information on there about when the groups meet and all that. You can hand those cards to people and invite them to come to your group and so that they know that they're welcome. The third N is to entertain. Some of you may be feeling this tug on your heart to host a group in your home. Let me tell you something about Brian and Megan Saban. They experienced Christian community up in North Carolina, right? It was close to Virginia, but North Carolina, is that right? And see, I'm still knowing them. They were in a small group up there. They were in good Christian community up there. And when they moved here, they knew two people. And on the second Sunday, they had a conversation with Rod and said, we want to host. They tell the story different. Megan says that Rod asked them if they could host. And then the other one says it's the other way around. But anyway, it doesn't matter. They had the conversation. Second week they were here. Do you know what? Megan and Brian, when they were looking for a home, one of the criteria was it had to be suitable for a small group. Think about that for a second. They're moving to an area where they know no one, and they're already thinking into the future, we're going to have a small group. And now, a year and 4 months after being a small group, they have over 27 people between the two groups that are coming and being a part of Christian community. Is that not awesome? That is awesome. They were thinking ahead. Now listen, maybe God is tugging on you and saying that you really are to be called to host a home. You're host a small group in your home. It doesn't have to be a Martha Stewart HGTV home. All right? It just has to be a place where people can gather. We're in a church right now that only has one house. It's the Sea House. And if you've never been there, you drive down a long, scary driveway. You do. And at night, especially, it's scary. And there's a sign that says the Sea House is that way. But you're like, really? Are you sure? And then down there, and then the house is renovated with meeting rooms, but there's not enough. So really, in our church, we've got to be a church that uses what God has provided us. He's provided us with homes to be opened up to use for small groups. Maybe God's calling you that. If that's the case, then I'm asking you to check the box that says, I will pray about hosting a small group. Just pray about it. And then the last one is investigate. Maybe God is tugging on your heart today to be a leader of a small group. The way that we do it here is that you become an apprentice leader. And, you know, I was a pastor for 17 years, but I started out as an apprentice leader. I'd done small groups before, but I started out as an apprentice leader. That was fine with me. I learned. So you sit alongside the other leader and you learn from them, and then you start trying it out, and then you find out whether or not that's what God has gifted you and graced you to do. So if that is the case, I invite you to check. I will investigate being a small group leader. You can talk to me or you can talk to Pastor Rod. We'll be glad to investigate that with you. What I'm saying to you is just get in. Get in. Look, I know that for all of us, really, it was a big step to go from here to there. That's a big step. And I'm glad you made it. I'm glad you're here. But there's so much more. So I invite you to take the next best step and step from there to there, to this small group environment where you can experience the joy of Christian community. Let's pray. Lord, I love you and I thank you for the way that you have watched out over me through the years. You've always provided for my needs. And I thank you that you have provided for my needs here at Crossroads. My need, Lord, to worship. My need, Lord, to hear your word preached. My need, Lord, to be with other brothers and sisters in Christ, to bind together in Christian community. I thank you for meeting that need here. And Lord, I pray for this dear congregation, Lord. I pray that we will not be a congregation that just comes and observes, but we will be a congregation that engages and interacts. So please, Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on us, because really what we want is to be in relationship with you. You're what it's all about. You are who we want, who we need desperately. So please come upon us and be glorified in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.